Harbin, yes ma'am.
Senator Smathers for the President on 9-1.
George.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to thank you for what you did. I don't know all you did, I'll read in the record, but I'm mighty grateful it worked out fine.
Yeah, I thought it came out real good.
I want to ask you about Parrish Front. John Connolly suggested to me that I offer him a place to kind of contact my governors and handle some tough work for me on stockpiles in Vietnam.
Yeah.
He said he considered him one of the ablest governors and one of the most gracious. And while he was more conservative than most of the administration,
he's a lot better than Leroy Collins.
And what about his question on the race issue?
Well, he's got no problem. He graduated from Harvard Law School. And, of course, he ran a conservative governor's race. He knew that's what he had to do to get elected.
Well, I mean, you reckon he's got any statements in there that would be bad for me?
I don't believe so. I don't believe so. As a matter of fact, when they tried to have demonstrations in our state, he handled it so well. He was the fellow who originated the idea of keeping everybody off the street and letting them go wherever they wanted and see anything they wanted to do. And I think he's one of the ablest fellows I've ever known. So I'm for him, as you can see. Your friend Fulbright got awful mad at me today.
What?
Your friend Fulbright got awful mad at me today.
Well, if you let me show you what he's doing, you'd be awful mad at him.
Well,
oh boy.
I spoke right after he did, and I read what he had said in 64, see?
Huh?
About this is what we're doing, and this is why we have to do it, and so on. And I read in yours, there was a real good statement from you in your transmittal message of this supplemental appropriation bill, which was just almost identical to the language that Fulbright had used. So somebody handed it to me. It was damn good. And so I lathered him up with that. He finally got up and just walked out and said something about me, some son, something like that. But anyway, it was all right.
I think that was excellent, and I'm awfully grateful, and I think the effect of it will be very good around the world.
I'm sure that it will. I'm sure. I think it's a great victory, and McCarthy, I don't know why in the hell he voted the way he did. He just wants to get a little recognition. I think that's the only thing you can count for it.
Well, he wanted to, and I sent General Maxwell Taylor up to talk to him. Called him the other day and told him he must misunderstand things. And he spent an hour or two with him, and we thought we had him straightened out. I think he's just plain mad because he didn't get appointed to vice president.
I think it's something like that. He's just a little resentful. I kidded with him a little afterward about it, and he just said, oh, hell, I just wanted to be, you know. I don't want to just be lining up all the time. I said, Christ, this is our country. This is not how you feel about some personality or something like that. He said, oh, well, the hell with it. But he was the only surprise. Everybody else went along good.
All right, now, do you think I might be able to get Parrish Brown to come and help me in the war?
I don't know. He's making a good deal of money now, and he told me the other day he's very happy in what he was doing. I frankly, just very confidential, I called him and asked him would he be interested in one of these judgeships. And he said he didn't think so because he was doing so well and enjoying it and so on.
Want to bleed through, but...
I don't know.
No?
But I'll tell you this, he's able.
Yes, I know he's able, and... could he take a leave? What's he doing?
He's just practicing law.
Did he indicate he wasn't...
He indicated he didn't want to do much of anything except just practice law. He might want to run for my job in the Senate when I retired, but he wasn't sure. But he didn't want a judgeship. I said, we got a circuit judgeship and we got a district court. He said, I wouldn't be interested at all in the district court, but I might be interested in the circuit court, but I'm not really anxious about it. I'm doing very well and I'm enjoying my life. And
are you in the Fifth Circuit?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
My God, don't you recommend anybody that's not going to be right on the next question?
Well, what I'd like to do is to get Collins out of the way, because I don't really trust Collins, and I don't particularly like Collins. It may be that there's some personal feeling there. I don't know why there is, but he never supported me for a damn thing. And I don't think he's got a one degree of loyalty in him to you or me or anybody else, although he's able. That much I am. But I thought if we could make him circuit judge, he'd vote, he'd be for the colored fellow. Wouldn't be a doubt about him. We get him out of the way as far as the Senate race is concerned. Let Ferris Bryant be senator.
That'd be good.
And so I'm trying to get Jim Eastland, and I'm talking to Jim about it. Now, Jim's not, of course, he hates Collins. I said, well, what the hell? You got to have him one way or another. So we're working on that.
Now, what happened to the Kennedys today? Were they mad and vicious, or what? Did they hide, or what?
I saw Bobby go up and throw his arms around Hubert Humphrey right in front of all the gallery when Humphrey was presiding there as we were having the vote. And Bobby was very amiable. Now, why Teddy's gotten all his nose out of joint, I don't know, but he's gotten so he doesn't speak to me and Russell Long and two or three other fellows. I just don't know why. But I think that he reflects how Bobby really feels. Bobby's too smart to show it that easily. But they went along with us. Of course, they had to. There wasn't any. They weren't persuaded to damn bit. They just knew they had to.
This was a lot better than our moving to reaffirm.
No question about it. Now, Joe Clark got up and had a big argument. He said, I refuse that senator from Florida tell me what this vote means. I'm on a vote table, but I'm not voting to approve the president's position. I said, well, now just read what you're voting for. I said, we pass a law to try to reduce taxes from 50% to 40%. If we don't reduce them to 40%, then we're endorsing what's on the law, which is 50%. And here's what the thing says, and I'd read it to him again. And oh, he got awful mad. He thought he was ugly anyway.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you stuck it to him, and I think you and Russell made a pretty good record, didn't you?
Yeah, we got it in there pretty good today.
Dick Russell made a good speech. Somebody said you made old Morris come back and make another speech. He got mad.
Well, Morris was good because Morris took the position he was already back when I got there, but he took the position that with all those doves, and they don't try to. '64 resolution.
That's good.
That's just what he said. He said that just ending as a conclusion. So when I got up, I was agreeing. I had Greening and Morris with me. And it was real interesting to be tied up in that tandem, you know, Fulbright and Clark.
Who cut you? Fulbright and Clark? Who else?
Clark cut me on the floor a little bit, but Fulbright cut me just off the record, you know, like the son of a bitch. Something like that, so.
Anybody else cut you?
No.
Who else explained that they weren't voting for me besides Clark?
Nelson. Nelson's right ahead of me, and then he listened, and there wasn't too many people in the start, but when I finished, there was a pretty good crowd. Old Ferguson came in there and helped out a little bit, and it went off real good, and I could just tell that we were scoring with them. They knew damn well they couldn't get off this hook. And Fulbright frankly said over and over again, he said, all I want is to delay this thing. I want a better climate. I want to delay it until we can think about it more. He said that once, he said it three or four times in his speech.
Well, we've got to stir up the veterans and a few others. Fulbright's not getting enough mail, George, and you ought to tell your veterans people and others at this point.
Well, you feel like saying, you know, here's a guy who's never been in a uniform in his life, never smelled gunpowder, never done a damn thing to be a professor and get elected to Congress. You keep wanting to say that. And he's so reasonable. His only problem is he thinks other people are as reasonable as he is. And they're not. But anyway, I thought the vote was damn good. Mike was a little funny. He didn't want to say. He said, in his speech, he said, if we defeat the March resolution, then the 64 resolution will stand. And Scoop Jackson got up and said, well, will the senator yield? And he yielded. And he said, no, But Johnson said, he didn't say that. He said it would just stand. So Jackson said, the way I consider it is that we will then be for the 64th position. He was just questioning Mansfield. But Mansfield got his, he said, here's what I said. So he read it back again, which was that it just stood. He didn't say it was for it, he just stood it. Well, that was the law.